And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Just wait for some football.
Yeah, and we've got some pretty good interviews lined up. We've got Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. He's going to preview the Georgia for us. We got J.C. Sherbert, 24/7 Sports. He's going to be previewing South Carolina for us. But, you know, before we get into those games, I got a couple of hot takes, too, I guess, if you want to call them that. Before we jump into all that, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Shane. LSU, you know, they got their first home game of the season on Saturday, and they've opened a bar in Tiger Stadium, and it's called The Shoot. What are your thoughts on LSU fans being able to drink alcohol inside Tiger Stadium?
What could go wrong, buddy? I love it. Actually, if any stadium was to open up a beer garden, it would have to be LSU, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I mean, yeah. Of every college football game I've ever been to, and I've been around them all across the country, I got to give props to LSU, those fans in Baton Rouge. They know how to have fun like no other fan base, in my opinion. And that's no disrespect to all the other ones around the SEC, because it's a good time wherever you go, where I've been. But it's just on another level down there in Baton Rouge. So this is kind of... I think this is years in the making, and I'm glad they're finally going to do it.
And seriously, this is a great trial run. You know, all the other universities have definitely got their eye on LSU, and if this thing runs smooth, you know, hopefully here in the next year or two, all of them will have it.
All right, Shane, let's get into the week two action. That's what everyone's here for. Before we get into the big games, before we get into our interviews, we're going to do a quick rundown. There's four cupcake games this week. So just one thought, one thing Shane and I are both looking to see in these games. And let's start off with Southern Illinois at Ole Miss. What are you looking to see from Ole Miss in this one, Shane?
I just want to see that offense to keep humming, you know. And I guess the biggest thing is I want to see a little better clock management this week. You know, I think Ole Miss is capable of scoring, you know, at will against this team. But, you know, these guys need to be rested because they got a big game coming up next week.
For me, what I want to see Ole Miss, they need to get that run defense solved because they got Alabama coming up in a week.
You know,
they had run fits against Texas Tech. Anytime you see that, you obviously got to question how good your run defense is. They lost Jalen Jones, the cornerback, so I want to see how their pass defense, you know, how that's affected. You know, surely they're going to just, I would think, take a huge lead with their explosive offense, but still need to see defense making some strides, gain some confidence going into that Alabama game because, you know, if they don't have their footing next week and that game is – at home in Oxford, so they'll have a little bit of a break, but they need to get that thing going before Alabama's high-powered offense comes in. Otherwise, Alabama may not punt the ball.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that.
All right, the next cupcake game, the game close to Shane's heart, ETSU traveling to Tennessee. Randy Sanders is promising to walk home naked if the Bucks win. What's one thing you're looking for here in this one?
Honestly, hopefully that it's not a close game. You know, Tennessee in the years past, we've had cupcake come in, and next thing you know, it's still a freaking ball game in the end of the third quarter, you know. So I'm really hoping, honestly, I'm hoping that that it's not a ball game, you know, because in the years past, these cupcake teams have come into Neyland, and it'd still be a ball game at the end of the third, first of the fourth, and you still got your starters in there, you know. This is what I want to see is maybe a little bit of Christ. I'd like to see him in there, see what he can do. But honestly, I want to see this line gel, and I want to see these running backs just go crazy. That's my main thing I'm looking for this week.
Well, I think you could basically pick out any position on defense as something that Tennessee needs to improve on. So, you know, I don't want to just say defense, and I don't want to pick one spot there because I think you'd be overlooking all the other spots. But for Tennessee, what I'm looking for in this game is offensive line. Obviously, with Brandon Kennedy gone for the year, I've got to see something from this offensive line. They've got to establish themselves. Surely they can do it against ETSU. You know, I think that's something every Tennessee fan needs to see. And obviously, if they struggle in this one, it's just going to be an incredibly long year. So my eye will mainly be on that offensive line and just see how they control the line of scrimmage in this after a terrible performance, more or less, particularly on first down. They lost first down basically every possession against West Virginia. And, you know, they got to get that solved immediately.
Yeah, good point. A little pressure wouldn't hurt either. I'd like to see a little pressure from the front four.
All right, Shane, next cupcake on the list, starting to get full here. Southeast Louisiana at LSU. What are you looking for in this one?
Just, I don't want to see a letdown. You know, LSU went out there and beat the brakes off Miami last week, and I don't want to see a letdown because in years past, Coach O's had a tendency to drop a couple games, and the last thing you want, you know, you got some momentum. You're ranked 11th in the country just to I want to see Burroughs come out and just – gunsling, and I want this defense to continue doing what they're doing.
Well, you picked about three things there, Shane, and you took one of mine. I'm going to say Joe Burrow because obviously he didn't have a poor game by any means in that first game against Miami. He did nearly throw a costly pick early in the game, bounced back, you know, had a really strong overall game, but he didn't break out. Not saying that he necessarily needs to, but he needs to get that chemistry going with his receivers, because next week they travel to Auburn. That's going to be a huge game. 2 weeks in, if he's still not, you know, if he's just managing the game against Southeast Louisiana, he's going to have a damn nightmare there on the plane. So I really want to see Joe Burrow establish himself and show, you know, that he's really up to the hype. I'd like to see him throw three or four touchdown passes. And, you know, last game was Nick Broussard's breakout game. I want this to be Joe Burrow's breakout game.
Exactly.
All right, last cupcake here, Shane. Alabama State at Auburn. What are you looking for from this one?
I'm looking for a clean pocket, man. I'm looking for that offensive line to figure some things out. I'd like to see Stenham come out of this game with a clean jersey. So that's my main takeaway. I just want to see those big hogs up front take control of this game.
All right, and for me, since you went running back, offensive line, and quarterback there, I'm going to go receiver.
I didn't say anything about the running back. I just said the offensive line. I want to see those big nasties up there.
Okay. I want to see the Auburn receivers do a little bit more damage in this one. You know, Auburn moved the ball really well against Washington in the opener, but, you know, they couldn't punch it in near the goal line. Not to say that was on the receivers. I think that was more on the offensive line more than anything. But, you know, they've got a true test coming up and with LSU's coming up to the Plains in a couple weeks here. Already touched on that, but I really want to see the receivers. They need to have a big day in this game because I don't think there's going to be any problems on the defensive side.
For sure.
All right, Shane, we teased it there in the opening. We got two really good interviews. We're going to start with the Mike Griffith interview, and he's, of course, a Georgia beat writer for Dog Nation of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So here's Mike Griffith previewing Georgia in anticipation for their big trip there to Columbia this week. Today's guest on the podcast is Mike Griffith of Dog Nation, covers Georgia for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
You bet, Michael.
So first question, I got to get this out of the way. What's it like covering a football program where the coach, you know, guards information like he's holding the nuclear launch codes?
Wow. Well, you know, that's pretty much been par for the course. I want to say probably about 2004, 2005 was when Tennessee closed it down. Mm-hmm. You know, digital media, the immediacy of reporting that could get out, and Tennessee closed practices up. And then when I went and covered Michigan State, you know, Mark D'Antonio was relatively guarded with his practices. And, you know, Butch Jones certainly was guarded with his practices, and Jeremy Pruitt was through spring drills. So, you know, I've kind of become accustomed to it. I will say that Georgia does pretty good with player access. They give us usually, six or seven guys to talk to every week. We always want more in the media, I suppose. We always want to try and give our readers and the fans as much perspective and insight as we can. But, in the current climate, I would say, Georgia's par for the course. And, the other thing I'd say, it's actually a pretty friendly place. They have a really good sports information department. And a lot of the people that work here, they take a lot of pride in their relations with the media. They do a really good job here, as Tennessee does and as Michigan State does. So I feel fortunate. Always wish for more access, but kind of is what it is these days.
Well, kind of piggybacking off that, Kirby Smart, he's been kind of guarded in terms of the starting quarterback role. Obviously, Jake Fromm got the start immediately. Justin Fields got to play a little bit. He noted this week that Justin Fields looked a little, had the freshman nerves out there. How close is that? I don't even know if you could call it a competition, but just how close are those two on the field right now?
Well, as far as what they can do in the games, I don't think they're very close. I mean, Jake Fromm did a heck of a job last year, and he's just got a level of experience that, Justin Fields, as talented as he is, hasn't been in a road environment yet, for example. He hadn't played in a road game, and, things move pretty fast on game day. It's really hard to simulate game speed, and as you mentioned, Michael, Justin pulled it down and ran a couple times early as a young quarterback. We'll often do if his read's not there, wanted to make positive yardage. And, Justin's a guy you bring along. I think as the season progresses, he's kind of like that guy that throws 101 miles an hour, but he's still learning how to pitch. Tremendous upside for Justin Fields. But the reality of it for Georgia is that there's only two scholarship quarterbacks. And so, while on the surface you might go, wow, bring Fields in and, have him run a wildcat package or a goal line package like Tim Tebow did back at Florida, 11 or 12 years ago or 12 or 13 years ago. If Eason hadn't transferred and they had that third quarterback, well, then maybe you take that chance. But right now it's game two of what Georgia believes will be a 15-game season. And so you've got to protect your quarterbacks, and certainly you want to protect Justin Fields and, put him in opportunities where he can have success. And you don't want to ruin the guy and throw too much at him too fast.
So based on what you've seen in practice, I don't know if unleash is the right word, but do you anticipate Justin Fields kind of having a big role in this South Carolina game this weekend?
No, I don't think so. Not unless Jake gets hurt. You look at the different scenarios, and if Georgia were to fall behind, which I don't foresee, but it could happen. Jake Fromm's the guy you want bringing him back. I mean, you take a look at what he did against Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield in the Rose Bowl on a pretty big stage and in a really, challenging environment under pressure. Jake is a guy that you're going to trust in that situation. I think Justin's a guy that, you play when the opportunities afford themselves. Kirby got him some second quarter snaps when they were up 17-0 on Austin Peay. Also let Justin, play in the third quarter, start the third quarter and have a couple series. So he's a guy you want to bring along. Right now, there's not a package that they're using for him in games. Right now, he's running the same offense as Jake. And, Georgia's trying to get two quarterbacks ready for what they hope will be another championship drive.
So the last 2 years in this game, Georgia has just dominated on the ground. 2016, they had a rushing edge of 326 to South Carolina's 30. Last year, Georgia again had the edge, 242-43. Do you anticipate Georgia to have similar success on the ground this week in Columbia?
I think they'll have some success on the ground, but, Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, that's the number two and number three all-time rushers at Georgia. And, you take a look at that list of Georgia running backs, and when you're talking about the number two and number three all-time rushers, that's saying a mouthful. And, I think DeAndre Swift is a talented guy. I think Elijah Holyfield wants to make the most of his opportunities. James Cook has exploded on the scene. He'll play in the second half. He may be the most dynamic of the tailbacks. But I think South Carolina's improved in their front seven. And I think they're going to be focused on taking their run away. And, I think Jake Fromm's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. I think you're going to see a controlled pass game. South Carolina does a really good job of not letting you get big plays. Muschamp is a master at that. They're also good at forcing turnovers, kind of a bend but don't break defense. And I think that they're going to try and make Jake Fromm nickel and dime him And that's going to be the challenge. Is Georgia's going to have to be patient. Jake Fromm is going to have to be accurate and handle the big game environment. And, you know, the receivers are going to have to step up.
On the other side of the ball, how big of a threat is Jake Bentley going up against this Georgia secondary, which, you know, they have some experience, but they have plenty of inexperienced guys that are still talented. But do you believe that Jake Bentley is a key to this game?
Oh, yeah. You know, a quarterback play is always important. You know, quarterbacks can lose football games if you're not careful. And, you know, I think Jake's done a good job of not losing football games, you know, his first 2 years. But, you know, to beat a team like Georgia, he's going to have to do more than be a caretaker. He's going to have to be a playmaker. And you're right. You know, as talented as Georgia is, there's a lot of youth. There's a lot of guys that haven't been on the stage before. And, you know, the Austin Peay game was a good opportunity to get for guys to get their feet wet. But that's not the same as playing at Williams-Brice Stadium. You know, that's going to be a hostile environment. South Carolina goes in there, very confident football team, a lot to prove. The SEC East is on the line. And, you know, some people, Michael, have suggested that, well, Georgia could lose this game and still scramble back and win the East. And, you know, technically that's correct. But, you know, if you take a look at who the teams draw, and it slips my mind now, I know South Carolina's got Ole Miss, maybe. I'm not sure who their other West opponent is, maybe A&M. But, you know, Georgia's sitting there now playing LSU and Auburn from the West. So, you know, they're faced with quite a challenge if they were to lose this game. And, you know, I know the Tennessee fans know that feeling with Alabama on their schedule every year, and they seem to draw a really good team from the West too. And, you know, that's kind of crippled their chances. But this year, Georgia's got a tough draw with Auburn coming into Sanford Stadium in November and a road trip to Baton Rouge to play LSU in October. So it's kind of a must-win game for both teams.
Now, I've taken some heat on Twitter because I've said I don't believe that there's anyone on Georgia's team that can defend Deebo Samuel. Do you believe that Georgia has a guy that can match up with Deebo one-on-one?
Well, you know, maybe, but I don't think they're going to have to. I think they're going to be two-on-one. I think, you know, Deebo's the kind of guy where, you shade a safety over to that side and give him help. I mean, certainly DeAndre Baker is a pretty special guy that, you know, a lot of people feel could be a first-round draft pick. But even so, you still want to give him some safety help. And, you know, J.R. Reed is really good and knows his assignments. And Georgia's got a really talented guy named Richard LeCount, a former five-star, that I expect really big things from. And he could make some plays. So I think South Carolina is going to have to find some other options. I don't think Kirby Smart's going to let his defense get beat by the best guy. I think South Carolina is going to have to establish a run game to keep Jake Bentley out of those long down and distance situations, out of those predictable plays, and, you know, really balance is the key for both of these teams and staying ahead of the chains, as they say. So, you know, you want to avoid the penalties. Certainly you want to avoid the turnovers. And you want to be productive on first and second down, whether that means running it or throwing the ball underneath. Both these coaches, Kirby and Will Muschamp, both great defensive minds.
Now, Will Muschamp has really downplayed the significance of this game this week, saying, you know, he doesn't want to put too much into it. This is obviously just one game of a 12-game season. I'm just curious, on the other side, Kirby Smart, how big of a deal are they making this game, or is it the same? Is it just one game to them?
Honestly, it's really been business as usual here. You know, there's a different air around Georgia. I mean, this is a championship caliber program. You know, I think everybody saw they were one play away from winning a national championship last year. And, you know, they are the defending SEC champions, and this program carries himself with that kind of poise. And it's a quiet confidence. I mean, they're not cocky at all, but, you know, there's a confidence here. You know, and their mantra has been, we're going to play to our standard regardless of who the opponent is. And that's the way the Georgia players have approached it. And, you know, Kirby's been very relaxed this week. I think he knows he's worked his team very hard in fall drills. There was a lot of ones-on-ones. You don't always see that. But, you know, Kirby helped that defense grow up fast by putting him against his first team defense a lot. There was a lot of scrimmage going on, two really long scrimmages, long and drawn-out scrimmages, and, you know, a lot of hitting in practice as well. So, you know, Georgia's ready for this football game. Certainly they are aware of all the guarantees and all the crazy things coming out of South Carolina. But they've maintained their focus because they recognize it is a long season. And, you know, after this week, Middle Tennessee is going to have a target on them. And Missouri is going to be upset-minded when they travel to Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, Tennessee is going to want to make amends for what happened last year. And, you know, they're going to get everybody's best punch because they're the defending SEC champs.
Do you have a pick for who's going to win this game?
I'm on record. I think Georgia's going to win by double digits. I know they're, last I checked, they were 9.5-point favorite. But, you know, I think this is a game. You know, South Carolina's going to have a lot of emotion. They need some good things to happen fast to get some momentum to carry over, you know, create that synergy. You know, a team starts playing over their head a little bit. You know, maybe, as you mentioned, Michael, some of the young players at Georgia may panic if they get behind by double digits. I don't see that happening with Jake Fromm, though. And that's why I'm thinking Georgia's going to win this game, pulling away in the fourth quarter, you know, with a lot of South Carolina fans already in the parking lot. So I'm taking Georgia to win this game by 17 points.
All right. Once again, that was the great Mike Griffith. He writes for Dog Nation, which is part of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thank you so much today for joining us, Mike. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Michael. You keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, Shane. So Mike's going with the Bulldogs.
What, shocker.
What thoughts on that conversation there? I thought, you know, he made a lot of good points in that one. One of the matchups everyone is kind of looking for is obviously Deebo Samuel. And I definitely wanted to get that question there on him on if Georgia can cover him. And, you know, he had a pretty interesting response to that one.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to cover him with one guy. You know, a lot of people are wanting to see this Deebo Baker matchup, but yeah, they're going to see that, but they're also going to have safety help. So I think that's what you do. You know, South Carolina's going to come out, they're going to threaten you deep. And so I'm really interested to see these defensive backs. You know, they are highly talented coming in, and they're going to have their hands full. This is obviously their first true test of the season. I don't know, man. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to this ball game.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of people are circling Justin Fields, seeing what he can do in this game. So that was another talking point I wanted to ask Mike about. And I thought it was pretty interesting, and I could easily see this being the case to where, you know, maybe they don't trust Justin Fields quite enough, particularly if this game's close. You know, you throw a true freshman on the road at Columbia, this crowd could be really fired up. If this is a close game, although Mike is predicting that it's not going to be, but if it is, I could certainly see a case where Justin Fields doesn't really see the field at this point. Could you see that?
Yeah, I think you stick with Fromm on this, and unless it just, I mean, we're just using ifs and stuff. If it got out of hand and South Carolina was just running away and they needed kind of a spark, mm-hmm. you know, definitely could see Fields coming in. But a lot of people aren't predicting that to happen. So if that was the case, if the game's close, yeah, I doubt he's going to see the field.
All right, so let's jump to our other interview. We're going to take the other side of this. We got J.C. Sherbert, owner of the Big Spur. He's going to break down some South Carolina football. So here's J.C. Sherbert, and then we'll discuss the South Carolina angle. All right, today's guest on the podcast is J.C. Sherbert. You can follow him at J.C. Sherbert on Twitter. And, of course, he's the owner of the Big Spur, which is the South Carolina 24/7 sports site. You got to follow these guys. And he's the co-host of the J.C. and Morgan College Football Podcast and the POS Show Podcast, which both can be found on iTunes. J.C., thanks for doing this.
Hey, it's no problem. Great to be with you today, Mike.
So first question right off the bat, how big of a game is this Georgia game for Will Muschamp and his program that's clearly, you know, on the rise?
Well, I think that for Will Muschamp, a win on Saturday would be huge because, you know, there's a narrative out there that, oh, you can't win at Florida, you can't win at South Carolina, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And I'll just point this out. Since Steve Spurrier left Florida, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, they've had 5 coaches. Only one of them had any success in terms of their standards, and that was half the time. Urban Meyer, the other half of the time, they went to the Outback Bowl and the Citrus Bowl, including in 07 when Tebow won the Heisman. And they lost to that Michigan team in the Citrus Bowl that lost to App State and Oregon at the beginning of the year. So I don't know that can't win at Florida, can't win at South Carolina is very valid, especially in the modern era, and especially when you consider the history of the Florida program, which was awfully similar to South Carolina before Steve Spurrier got there. Mm-hmm. That's nothing against the Gators. I do think it's a sleeping giant, and I do think Dan Mullen will do well there, but that narrative doesn't fly. And Will Muschamp, here's a guy that before he ever coached a college football game as a head coach was offered both the Texas and the Florida job. So I don't know. I think the guy knows what he's doing. I think he struggled with hiring offensive coordinators. I think he's got the right one now. And I think with the Gamecocks, you know, 9-4 last year, 6-7 the year before with a team that really had no business winning 3 or 4 games. You know, he's on the rise again. And I think the one thing that's kind of kept him back is offense. And his record as a head coach, when they score more than 20 points in a game, is 38-8. I mean, you wouldn't think that. Will Muschamp's 44-32 as a head football coach. 38-8 when they score more than 20, which is not a huge benchmark. Mm-hmm. And I think he's finally got the right guy. I think they're doing the right thing. South Carolina's not a place you can line up in the I formation and run it and punt and just try to play defense and things like that. You have to be dynamic. I think this offense fits Jake Bentley. I think Georgia's got a lot of youth on defense. And this game comes at the right time in the schedule for South Carolina and that offense, which is more than just Deebo Samuel, despite what people think.
Now, speaking of Deebo, you know, he was interviewed by the media there locally this week, and he was just asked about how big this Georgia game is for the South Carolina fan base. And he noted, hey, the first time I experienced this in Williams-Brice, the stadium, the ground was shaking. How massive is this game, and how big could this home crowd be for South Carolina this weekend?
Well, if you look at the history of the series, you know, Georgia, they've won their share of games in Columbia. But it's always been very close. It's been a battle. 0-2, that Mark Richt team, second year, David Pollack made a heroic play that was the final margin of victory. South Carolina fumbles inside the 3 going in late in the game. You look at 0-4, which was David Green and David Pollack's senior year. Gamecocks get up 16-0. Georgia rallies, comes from behind. They're up 20-16. Gamecocks fumble inside the 10. You look at 08, Matt Stafford, senior year. Georgia's ranked top 5. Carolina just lost to Vandy. It was a 14-7 game. Once again, Carolina fumbles inside the 5. You know, and then since then, 2010, 2012, 2014, the Gamecocks have won. And then 16, like I said, that team, Will Muschamp's first team, and this was before Jake Bentley took over as the quarterback. It's a touchdown game with no time left. Georgia, South Carolina scores. They kick an onside kick. Georgia returns it for a touchdown. And that game actually was on a Sunday because of a hurricane. And, you know, so they've always been really competitive football games. And, I don't see it any different this weekend. I think Georgia, Mike, to me, you know, just looking at it nationally, taking the Gamecocks out of it, they have a lot to prove. And I think we've almost anointed them prematurely. I want to see them do what Clemson did last year. You know, Clemson lost to Deshaun Watson and a bunch of players off that national championship team. You know, they go into Virginia Tech, blow them out. They go into Louisville with Lamar Jackson, blow them out. They started passing tests last mm-hmm. year. Georgia, to me, when you kind of look at how their season unfolded last year, and they have a lot more tests to pass. So, just from a national perspective, I need to see them pass tests before I anoint them as Alabama East, because they're not Alabama. They're not Ohio State, and they certainly aren't Clemson right now. I mean, they had one good year with a bunch of seniors, and Kirby Smart's recruiting awfully well, and I've made a good living off recruiting rankings, but I think that the whole, you know, narrative going into this game and going into Georgia's season this year is about recruiting rankings. And look, it's not basketball like John Calipari. You can sign 5 5 stars and go ahead and, you know, hoop it up and go to the Sweet 16. I mean, football's a developmental sport. South Carolina's older. They have 4 seniors on the offensive line. I mean, I do think Georgia has one of the best offensive lines in the country. I do think if Georgia's able to run the ball, it could be a long day for the Gamecocks. But I just think that some of the narrative surrounding this game is about recruiting rankings, which, hey, I'm flattered because I did that for a long time. But that's not the way games are won and lost, and we all know that. I mean, it's a gradual thing over time that you have to do, recruiting well, all that good stuff. And one class is just not going to make Georgia at the level of Ohio State, Clemson, or Bama. Now, they start passing tests, they win this one, they go to Missouri and win, great. I'll say, hey, look, I'll be the first one to say I'm wrong. But right now, I just don't see it in terms of the overall hype of this Georgia football team.
Now, speaking more specifically of just the game this weekend, how much did South Carolina reveal in week one, in your opinion, that maybe they kind of held back this new-look offense so that Georgia wouldn't have anything on tape?
Well, I think there's some wrinkles that they're going to, you know, put out there. But, I mean, if you look at the Coastal Carolina game, it was a very diverse set of plays. They got in the I formation one time, which I thought was, you know, pretty interesting. I don't think they've been in the I since early Spurrier era. And they did some different types of things. But I do think that, you know, when you look at it, as far as the actual play calls, I don't know that they ran, you know, more than 20% of their playbook, but I don't think Georgia did either. And I want to say this, Jim Chaney, you know, you look at his career, you look at what he did even at Tennessee when he was calling plays for Derek Dooley. I mean, that guy can dial up some plays. And I think that's an underrated aspect of the game is that, yeah, everybody talks about shutting down Georgia's run, but Jim Chaney's very sneaky, as we know. And I think that Jake Fromm and those wide receivers, which have a lot of speed, you know, will be problematic. As far as the Gamecocks go, no, I don't think they really revealed a whole lot, but they revealed enough to where I think Georgia's got some stuff on tape they're going to kind of work on.
Now, you keep referencing that Georgia running attack. For those that don't know, Georgia, they nearly outrushed South Carolina by 300 yards 2 years ago. They outrushed by 199 a year ago. If South Carolina is able to kind of close that gap this year, in your opinion, how does that happen?
Well, that has to be a key for the Gamecocks this weekend. They cannot just be one-dimensional on offense. And one of the things that I thought was solid about last week was the running backs for South Carolina, Rico Dowdle, Tyson Williams, and A.J. Turner, really look like they put in the work over the offseason. They're quicker, they're stronger, they're all healthy. And they're running different run plays. I mean, you know, the offense the last couple of years under Kurt Roper was basically inside zone, inside zone, inside zone. Well, they're running some stretch, they're running some tall sweeps, getting to the outside, and I think that helps the Gamecock running backs a little more. They have to be able to run the football on Saturday, Mike, or they really have no chance to win, in my opinion.
Now, speaking of Jake Bentley, how effective do you think he's going to be against the Georgia secondary that, you know, they have some good players, but they have a ton of inexperience in that secondary as well?
Well, DeAndre Baker's a player that, evaluating him out of high school, I thought he was special. You know, I thought he was an outstanding ball player. And Tyson Campbell, obviously, as a true freshman, is very, very talented. But I do think there'll be some opportunities. And I'll say this, there's all this talk about, oh, Georgia's – I heard a national radio guy the other day say, oh, Georgia will just bracket Debo, and that'll shut down South Carolina's entire offense. We'll do that at your own peril. Because Shai Smith, Brian Edwards, Casey Crosby, a lot of the other guys, the backs, Turner, Williams, Dowdle, I mean, are very capable pass catchers. South Carolina's offense is not designed anymore just to be one-dimensional, get it to Debo, get it to Debo. I mean, they want to try to get it to Debo, but if you bracket Debo, you're going to have some problems with Shai Smith and Brian Edwards and the rest of the receivers.
If Georgia does try to go one-on-one with Debo, do they have anyone that can possibly cover him?
Well, you know, I think Baker has a chance. Debo's hard to cover when you – you know, you allow him to catch the ball and then try to tackle him because he's so strong in his lower body, he can break tackles. But no, Baker's certainly capable as far as covering a guy one-on-one. I mean, he's one of the best corners, I think, in America. And certainly Tyson Campbell, you know, coming out of high school was outstanding as well. But I do think that if Georgia wants to cover Debo one-on-one, DeAndre Baker's the best choice.
All right, so final question here. Who do you got winning this game?
Well, I have South Carolina winning by 2 touchdowns, 38-24. Like I said on Twitter earlier today, Georgia fans, you know, if that doesn't come to fruition, feel free to heckle me and tell me I was wrong. I'll own that prediction. But I just think it just sets up for a game where South Carolina is going to do some things. And, you know, I just hope that the narrative, and again, this will be based on recruiting rankings, it and what's wrong with Georgia after this game. I hope it's what's right with South Carolina. But, you know, that's a battle I think that the Gamecocks face, especially considering they had 17 years of celebrity coaches. Then they hired the guy that, you know, didn't make it at Florida. You know, so they don't really get the benefit of the doubt sometimes, but I hope that if they do win, it's more about the Gamecocks than about what's wrong with Georgia, because I think Georgia's an awfully good football team, and they will be better as the year goes on.
All right, everybody, that's J.C. Sherbert. You can follow him at J.C. Sherbert on Twitter, the owner of the Big Spur, and you got to follow them for everything South Carolina football, basketball, baseball. They cover it all. And he's also the co-host of the J.C. and Morgan College Football Podcast. Thank you, J.C., so much. I really appreciate this.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, Shane. We got a totally different predictions here. J.C.'s got South Carolina by double digits to win this game.
Uh-oh.
Could you see that happening?
Well, I mean, I've seen crazier things happen, you know. I mean, the thing is, if this offense gets going, if this thing turns into a shootout, you know, I think that's going to play in favor of South Carolina. I don't think it will, but I'm just saying if this thing just – it was touchdown after touchdown and South Carolina is just going toe-to-toe with them, then potentially, yeah. I mean, because anything can happen. But I don't know, man. The only people that are predicting South Carolina to win typically are in the state of South Carolina.
Well, JC's based out of Atlanta, so boom, you're wrong. But, yeah, you know, I thought he made a lot of interesting points because it's all true what he's saying. You know, a lot of Georgia's guys, while they are touted, they're unproven. And a lot of people are just kind of fixated on those recruiting rankings, particularly because Georgia just finished with the number one recruiting class in the nation. And I would think, you know, as good as that class is, I'm not trying to demean that class by any means, but the vast majority of those guys from that number one class are not going to be seeing the field in this game. So you can almost wipe that one out. And just the gains that South Carolina's been making, they've been, you know, they've been exceeding expectations for every single year Will Muschamp has been there. They're not being picked by many people, like you said, outside of South Carolina to win this game. So this could be just the latest sign that Will Muschamp led his program to 9 wins last year. This could just be another sign that they're ready to take that next step. And, you know, for all the talk that Will Muschamp and his team have about this is just another game, this is not another game. This is huge. I think this would obviously be the biggest win of Will Muschamp, probably his entire coaching career, not only at South Carolina.
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of the attitude, too. If you notice, I mean, South Carolina's had this game circled for a long time. They know they have to win this game. They know they're going to have their hands full. And then on the flip side of the coin, what is Georgia doing, you know? Does Georgia really think that this game is the most important one on their schedule? You know, are they going to come in there just expecting to win? Mm-hmm. I mean, that could happen as well. So, and the last thing you need, especially if you're up in South Carolina, is a letdown. Because if those fans are pumped up and excited, I mean, it really can get ugly quick up there.
All right, Shane. So we got Mike on record with his pick. We got JC on record with his pick. South Carolina, a 10-point underdog in this one, even though they're hosting the game. Who do you got winning in this, South Carolina or Georgia?
I got Georgia winning. My score prediction on this game is 35-31. I think that there's going to be a lot of points scored. I just think Georgia gets the last series.
Ooh, I almost have the same score for Georgia. I'm going Georgia 38, South Carolina 10. I got the Bulldogs by 4 touchdowns winning this one, running away.
Oh, my. That's bold, brother. 4 touchdowns.
It is, but, you know, if you look over the last couple years, Georgia's dominated this game on the line of scrimmage. I think their offensive line It was not good in 2016. They won. They outrushed South Carolina by nearly 300 yards. The offensive line got a lot better last year. They outgained South Carolina by 200 yards on the ground. Now going into this year, I think this is the best offensive line of all of them. I just don't see any way South Carolina slows down Georgia's running game. And if they do try to, you know, stack the box, I think Jake Fromm and those receivers, they have, he has every weapon in his tool to just throw over the top if that's what South Carolina is going to give him. So either way, they're going to have to pick their poison. They're going to have to man that box. And I think both ways, they're just going to get picked apart by Jim Chaney in this one.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense why you picked Swift to be the MVP this week now.
Yeah, I'd look for him to break a couple big ones, maybe have like 150 to 200 yards in this one. I just think the Dogs are going to run wild. And, you know, I complain about Alabama and how dominant they are, but if Georgia starts winning games like this by several touchdowns, I think then you really start to see that the Alabama comparisons. Of course, Georgia's not won anything yet at this point outside of an SEC championship, but I think these are kind of the statement games where programs just kind of show you what they got.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Shane, so let's go into the next game on the docket. Mississippi State, a 10-point favorite on the road at Kansas State. You know, you threw out that stat the other day, and I was listening to the radio on Mississippi. It kind of backed up what you were saying. The Bulldogs have not gone on the road and won in the non-conference since 1995. So that's a long damn time. But, you know,
that's crazy.
This Mississippi State team favored by 10. Who do you like in this one?
Oh, Mississippi State. Yeah, I think they're going to break the series this time, you know. I think Mississippi State is going to just demolish Kansas State. You know, I keep hearing this this record thing, and I keep hearing that they're going to have a tough time with Dan's team up there. No, they're not. Mississippi State's going to go up there. They're going to get their job done. And I think old Fitz is going to have, like I said yesterday, 5 touchdowns. So, so score prediction for me, Mississippi State 45, Kansas State 20.
Well, here's something that will kind of probably help you with your pick there. From what I understand, Kansas State is still not settled at quarterback, so they're using multiple quarterbacks in this game, and you do not want to be using multiple quarterbacks against this Mississippi State defense because they are legit. 17 tackles for loss. I think, you know, I don't think Kansas State has ever played a team, you know, in the last probably 15 years that's going to have this much talent on the defensive line as Mississippi State has. So I look for Mississippi State to control that line of scrimmage. I don't think that Nick Fitzgerald is going to have quite a big a day as you, but I don't know, just because he's not played in so long, he's not been taking hits. I don't think he's going to have a poor game by any means, but I think he's going to have a little bit of rust. But even in that, I like Mississippi State big. I think the running game will kind of carry the day with Kylan Hill. So I'm going to go Mississippi State 38, Kansas State 13.
All right.
All right, next game on the docket, Shane, Nevada at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's an 8.5-point favorite at home. Who do you like in this one?
Well, I think I'm just going to keep picking against them until it works out. But I really like Nevada's offense. You know, I didn't get to watch a lot of the game, but the parts that I did, I think, match up well against Vanderbilt. So in this one, I've got Nevada 33, Vanderbilt 22.
Ooh, that's pretty bold right there, Shane. But I did look this up. Nevada, they did score 72 last week, so they can certainly put up some points. But I'm going to go the other way. I've got a little bit of faith in Derek Mason. I did pick him to beat Middle Tennessee, and they did that. I didn't think it would be quite the ass whooping they gave him. They won 35-7 last week. I like Vanderbilt to limit Nevada on this one and Kyle Shurmur to get another win at home. I'm going to go Vanderbilt 29, Nevada 20.
Okay.
All right, next game on the docket, Shane. We've got Arkansas State, the confident Arkansas State. They're the Wolves. They're the Red Wolves or something. They're catching 37 points on the road at Alabama. Alabama's nearly a 40-point favorite. Who do you obviously like Alabama, but what's your score pick here?
Yeah, I don't think the Red Wolves got a shot here. I do think they get 16 points. Just unfortunately, the Crimson Tide's going to get 52. And I really want to see. I do want to watch this game because I am curious about the quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. I know we've been talking about it all off season, but I want to see, is Jalen go out there? Are we going to see Mac? You know, those just a little bit of that. I want to kind of see a little bit better of the running game. And yeah, I'm kind of interested in this game. Not to mention, this team loves to throw. You can say what you want about the Red Wolves, but they're at least going to launch the ball. So these deep the defensive backs, they're going to get some practice this week.
All right, yeah, and obviously, you know, we're laughing at Arkansas State here, so it's kind of obvious who I'm going with. I'm going with Alabama as well, 48-13. I do like this Arkansas State team to cover, but, you know, it's not going to be very competitive. They do like to throw the ball around, and that is something that's kind of exposed Alabama, but I was very impressed with that defensive backfield by Alabama. I was actually just watching the replay of that game before we started recording, and with my eye on the defensive backfield, because I anticipated they were going to struggle a little bit against Louisville. They didn't really at all. So they look not in midseason form, but they're getting close, and this will be another good tune-up. It's interesting because Nick Saban noted on his latest presser that this team is going to help them basically next week when they play Ole Miss, because it's almost a similar style offense. So
that's a good point.
This is as if Alabama needed any help, they're getting it right here.
Exactly. I mean, I was thinking about that, you know, just the up-tempo offense, the vertical offense that this team runs, man. I mean, it is almost identical to Ole Miss now that you mention it. So that's good practice for them.
All right, the next game on the schedule is actually the Clemson Texas A&M game, but let's hold off on that one till the very end. That's game day. That's a big game. So we've got a couple of back-to-back upset picks, and I'll go with mine first. Wyoming at Missouri. Missouri is an 18-point favorite. And I said this in the offseason, I'm going to stick with it. I like Wyoming to go into Missouri, not only cover, but I like Wyoming outright. I'm going Wyoming 24, Missouri 23.
Ooh, that's a bold one. And I was surprised you stuck with it. And I probably could have went with you this week if they didn't get their ass beat so bad by Coach Leach up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I've got a little bit more confidence in Missouri this week. I think that they're not going to have any trouble scoring on Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got Missouri winning 31, Wyoming 17.
All right, and I'll give you a little bit of more info on why I'm going with Wyoming here. Obviously, I've noted, you know, Craig Bowles, the coach. He was the former North Dakota State coach that turned them into an FCS, you know, national championship program year after year. That's a big part of it. They lost Josh Allen, and I think people look at them and say, oh, they lost Josh Allen, they're going to take a step down. Well, I think Josh Allen kind of sucked. He just had a big arm. So I think there's a little bit of Ewing theory going on there. You lose a guy that everyone thinks is your best player. I think that kind of motivates all the other players to get better. Obviously, you know, they did lose to Washington State, but I think Mike Leach is a hell of a lot better coach than Odom and Derek Dooley will ever be. So
yeah,
you got to throw that factor in there. And then this really, you know, I thought maybe this pick would be a little bit too bold as well until I saw the forecast. It's it's 90% thunderstorms with 13-mile-per-hour wind on Friday, and on Saturday, 100% thunderstorms, 18-miles-per-hour wind. I don't think throwing the ball is going to work. I don't think that deep ball is going to be there for Drew Lock. And if that deep ball is not there, I think that really limits what Missouri wants to do on offense. I think Wyoming can kind of, I wouldn't say stack the box, but just kind of get closer to the line of scrimmage. And
yeah,
without that deep weapon, Missouri is not the same team. I don't think they have anything outside of that, really. If they cannot throw that bomb, that's their biggest threat on offense. So I like Wyoming to kind of steal one. I still am not a believer in Missouri's defense. And Wyoming or Missouri people are blowing me up on Twitter already, but I'm eager to watch this one for sure.
Oh, yeah. Me too. And like I watched last week, and I'm telling you, that offensive line kept that pocket clean. And that's why he had a lot of passing yards, just because he had so much time to do that. I don't think he's going to have that privilege against Wyoming. But I definitely just – of course, I didn't factor in weather. I mean, that's next level stuff, Mike. So with the weather, I probably should bump my score down, but I'm going to keep it because I'm pretty confident 31-17 will be the score.
All right, so now we're going to jump into Shane's upset special. I was pretty I don't know if surprise is the right word, because I've got this team covering, but Arkansas is going on the road at Colorado State, and Arkansas is a 13.5-point favorite, which is pretty ridiculous. But who you got in this one, Shane, and tell us why.
Well, I've got the upset here. I've got Colorado State, you know, 0-2 Colorado State. I think third time's the charm. And they come away with the victory, 27-24. And my main reason for this is, you know, I don't like the quarterback situation in Arkansas. You know, the coach didn't come out and give us any confidence that Story's going to be the guy, even though we know he should be. He was pressured the entire game. The defense, you know, really did. I mean, it had moments, but it didn't look great. So I think that Arkansas is going the right way. I think that they will get this thing figured out. But you're also playing a team this is their third game. They've got, even though they've lost, they know what they're doing. They know what kind of offense they're running, their defense. And they do got some weapons out there on the outside, Preston Williams. And I don't know. I just think if there's going to be a game that's upset, I really think that it will be this one.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to really disagree with you a whole lot there, because – I think people are buying into the fact that Colorado State is 0-2. Now, obviously, they lost to Colorado, which Colorado being in the Big 12, I think Colorado probably should handle Colorado State more often than not. So that was an acceptable loss. They did lose to Hawaii that Week 0 game, which was also at Colorado State. So that was a bad loss, and Hawaii was not good last year, but apparently they're – you know, based on what they did last week as well, that could be a very underrated team. So I think people are buying a little too much into Colorado State being 0-2, and people are really buying too much into Arkansas's 55-20 win against Eastern Illinois. As we touched on in an early podcast, the defense scored one of those touchdowns, and I did not realize this because there was just so much games going on at the time, but Eastern Illinois fumbled the ball 6 times, and Arkansas came up with it 5. And Arkansas did not have a turnover in that game. So if you are +5 in the turnover and you're playing Eastern Illinois, you should beat their ass if you're an SEC school. So unless Arkansas is going to catch that kind of turnover luck every game, you know, they're not going to look that impressive again all year. I do like Arkansas to win this game, but I like Colorado State to cover. I'm going Arkansas 31, Colorado State 21.
Nice.
All right, Shane. The streak. The streak is alive and well. Kentucky's traveling to Florida. Florida's a 13.5-point favorite. Who do you got in this one?
Well, like I said, man, it's 31 years in the making. And if there's ever a year that I think Kentucky can pull off the upset, beat the Florida Gators, it's going to be this year. So that's why I have Kentucky 14, Florida 44. Oh, I'm sorry, wow. Kentucky. I think that unfortunately you got Florida a year too late. Your chance was last year, and I think Dan's going to have some stuff dialed up for him. And Felipe looked really good. I just think the Gators are going to be too much to handle in the swamp there.
You had me fooled there, Shane, until you actually did it. But you know, I'm actually going to go the other way. I am picking Florida to win. I don't think it's — you just can't pick against the Gators in this annual series. But I do like Kentucky to cover, because I think, like I've been saying it since the offseason, I think Kentucky's really underrated. I'm not totally sold on Florida just yet. Everyone's looking into that 53-point performance against Charleston, and seems like, you know, people are all bought in. ESPN, FBI saying Florida basically has a just as good a chance to win the league as South Carolina now, based on that one performance, which is just the latest sign to show you what a joke that FBI is. But
Yeah.
I'm not fully bought in. Let's see what they do against an SEC defense. I got Florida on this one 30, Kentucky 26. So I think it's going to be a really tight game, but I like the Gators to win in the end.
For sure.
All right, so the big game, the game day game of the week, Clemson traveling to Texas A&M, and Clemson is a 13-point favorite on the road. Who do you got in this one?
This one I do have as a close game because I think it will be, but I still have Clemson win. I just think they've got too many weapons, too many NFL players on that team, and Jimbo's on the right way, and if anybody can make this a game, I truly believe it's him. Just unfortunately, I don't think he has the talent just yet. So I got Clemson 28, Texas A&M 20.
Okay, so a tight one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game is definitely being hyped up. This is, you know, I think this is being built up as like a statement performance by the Aggies. You know, what a crazy turn of events. Jimbo Fisher comes back and he sees Dabo in this first big game. Who would have thought that, you know? But, you know, everything you touched on there, Clemson's probably going to be too much to handle here. But I do think, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if A&M has the lead even at halftime. I think it could be something like that where just the emotions of this game. Clemson to Texas A&M, College Station, that's a long way to go. I could certainly see Clemson being slow in this game. They have They have their own kind of quarterback controversy there. It doesn't seem like it's a controversy, but you know, you got a senior and a true freshman, and they're stealing snaps from each other. So, you know, if that thing goes sideways, this game could get really interesting. But you know, for all the hype of A&M, I just got to see it. One thing that really bothered me in that opener was Kellen Mond was getting hit too much. The line could not really, you know, they obviously beat the hell out of Northwestern State, but
yeah,
there was a couple of real shots that Kellen Mond took. There was issues with the A&M receivers getting separation from Northwestern DBs. If those rear their head even for a quarter against Clemson, there's no chance in hell they're going to win this game. So I'm going to go with Clemson 35, Texas A&M 17.
Yeah, you're right, man. They're going to have to play a perfect game. No stakes. You know, all three facets, you know, offense, defense, special teams, and that's asking a lot, man.
All right, Shane, so we got another awesome week of SEC football coming up. You know, I just can't wait for it, and, you know, Saturday is obviously my favorite day in the fall. What about you?
Yeah, without a doubt, man. And, you know, these first 2 weeks, I always thought, you know, it's great. There's a couple good games on there, you know, but there are a lot of cupcakes. So let me ask you, Mike. Out of these teams playing these cupcake teams, if I made you pick one that would upset, you know, let's just, for example, like the Auburn-Alabama State game. You know, obviously, everybody's got Auburn being picked there. But is there one of those teams that you think could get upset? If you had to pick one, which one would you go with?
Well, it's interesting you picked that Alabama State Auburn one, because right before I logged on here, I saw that the S&P Plus analytics are picking Auburn to win that game 80-0. So I'm not going with that one. I'm not trying to tease you. I'm not trying to play with your heart here. But I think if I got to go with one, I got to go with ETSU beating Tennessee. Now, clearly, I don't think that's going to happen. I think this will be a blowout. But, you know, just if something turns sideways there, maybe the players have not bought into Jeremy Pruitt. If there's, you know, a big turnover early in the game, you know, things just start snowballing. We get, you know, just lack of production on offense, busts on defense. I could somehow see ETSU kind of walking out of Neyland Stadium with the win.
Yeah, that's I know, man. It's scary. It's scary position, you know. We're really going to be tuned in. And once we get about 14-21 under a belt, then we can kind of say, okay, we're going to be all right, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one that I see that it could be an upset.
If I had to pick one, I love this guy, but Coach O has dropped a few in the past. And you know, I mean, it would take a miracle for Southeastern Louisiana to beat LSU. But if I had to choose one, that's the one I'm kind of looking, just because it just feels like a trap game, you know. They were so excited about the Miami situation, and I think they could be caught looking ahead. And if Burrows doesn't come out focused, then it could be kind of tight toward at the first half, you know. I think obviously LSU is going to, you know, beat them, but that's kind of the one if I had to pick, I'd be leaning toward.
All right, Jaden, that's all I got for today. But I did want to mention, like we noted on the last podcast, we plan on starting up a Reddit page. So look for that SEC podcast on Reddit. Hopefully that'll be up by the time you listen to this podcast. And, you know, if you want to join our community, that'd be great. We can have, you know, all kinds of discussions on there and comments and questions and threads going. Just anything and everything on the SEC, we'll be on there just giving our thoughts. So look forward to that. And thanks, as always, for everyone listening. Thank you, Shane, for joining me. And I'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you, buddy. Go Vols.